the Nan and Eggs Podcast with Rob Namnoom, sponsored by Southern Colorado Napa Auto and Truck Parts, three locations, and Napa know-how to make sure you leave with the right part every time. Call 632-4616, that's 632-4616, for locations, hours, and parts information.
Welcome to another edition of the Nam and Eggs Podcast. I'm your host, Rob Namnoom, Sports Director at KRDO TV in Colorado Springs Pueblo. On the podcast today, the Nam and Eggs Podcast, Paul Klee of the Colorado Springs Gazette will join the podcast. We'll chat about Tiger Woods' comeback, the Nuggets' upcoming season, and we'll chat a little bit about Broncos football. But before we dive into all these subjects today, we're also going to touch upon the NFL. The no flag league, jokingly, the much flag league, and that roughing the passer rule that they're strictly enforcing this season. But before we get to all those topics, we got to thank Napa Auto Parts. This Nam and Eggs Podcast presented by Southern Colorado Napa Auto and Truck Parts, three locations to serve you, and Napa know-how to make sure you leave, when you leave their store, that you have the right part in your hand every time. You can call Napa at 632-4616. That's 632-4616. You can find out where you can locate them, their hours, and parts information. They have knowledgeable people who work in their shop, so if you're having some car issues, some truck issues, some SUV issues, Napa know-how, that's the place to go. All right, the Nam and Eggs poll question. Jerome, what about the rise is real? Yeah, we're gonna see you. Got a big game against UCLA on Friday night. I hope Chip the mascot will be available after having that unfortunate incident with the cannon gun. If you haven't seen that video, go look for it on YouTube. It's pretty funny. All right, the Nam and Eggs Podcast poll question. You can answer this question at my Twitter handle, which is at Rob Namnoom. All right, the Rockies, they have five games left. So the question is, will the Rockies win the National League West? Will they clinch a wild card spot? Will they miss out on Rocktober? Or will Charlie Blackmon shave? So you can answer that question at my Facebook page, which is Rob Namnoom KRDO, or at my Twitter handle, at Rob Namnoom. All right, so we've all seen those Godfather movies, right? And there's that famous line, every time I think I'm out, they suck me back in. That's how I look at the 2018 Colorado Rockies. The Rockies find themselves, as we record this podcast in the middle of the week, in the final wild card spot because the Cardinals have taken a nosedive, and only a half game out of first place behind the Los Angeles Dodgers. They've won five in a row. They're starting to consistently swing the bat in this final month of the season. They've scored 19 runs in two games against the Phillies. And a real bright spot is that John Gray gave them a quality start. You know, John Gray had not been a big-time, big-game pitcher for the Rockies. They've been trying to push him as their ace, and he gave them an ace-quality performance on Monday night. Seven innings, struck out seven, and they desperately needed that. So the Rockies, they've got two more with the Phillies, and then the underperforming Washington Nationals head to Coors Field. And really, the only concern I would have is Max Scherzer possibly pitching on Sunday, which is the final day of the regular season. He's already has his 300 strikeouts, so maybe he doesn't even pitch. You know, I don't think he's going to win the Cy Young Award, but it depends on how much Max Scherzer wants to win the Cy Young Award. He would have to pitch on Sunday because Jake DeGrom seems to be the clubhouse leader when it comes to the National League Cy Young Award. So the Dodgers, they've got another one with the D-backs. And then they have a series with the Giants. You might think, oh, great, the Giants. But those two are rivals. So maybe San Fran, they'll be in San Francisco at AT&T Park. Maybe the Giants are like, let's go ahead and spoil their season, shall we? And then the Cardinals, they've got a few with the Brew Crew who, man, if the Rockies do get in the wild card and have to play Milwaukee in Milwaukee, yikes. I think it'll be a replica of last season, a one and done for the Rockies in the postseason. But you never know. And then the Cardinals have a series with the Cubs, and the Cubs are trying to fend off the Brewers. They're trying to fend off the Brewers, and they're not going to just skate on in to the National League Central Division title because the Brewers are hot and heavy on their heels. So that's an important season. The way I look at it, I like the Dodgers. Their lineup is incredible. I mean, they have guys on the bench who can just mash, and they don't even start. I still think the Dodgers will win the division. The Rockies will get the wild card spot. But it looks like we'll have Rocktober this year. Now, I know it's not as magical as back in 2007. The Rockies won 21 out of 22 and ended up in the World Series, being swept by the Boston Red Sox, but they are still in the World Series. So this has been a lot of fun watching the Rockies the last 6-7 weeks. They sure have made it interesting. And I tell you, it was a stroke of genius by Major League Baseball to add the wild card, because that's what's made baseball fun the last month of the season. So kudos to you, Major League Baseball. All right, let's move on to the NFL. Roughing the passer rule is being strictly enforced by refs in the NFL this year. So the rule is, one of the rules we're emphasizing is, players cannot use all of their body weight to take down a quarterback. Now, this rule's actually been around since 1995, but they're enforcing it. And I'll tell you why, the real reason why they're enforcing this. It's because the quarterbacks in the NFL are the face of the NFL, and it has a lot to do with ratings, folks. Now, when Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady and Drew Brees and quarterbacks of their ilk are playing, people tune in. If they're not a fan of the team, they tune in and they watch those players because they're the face of the NFL. They're the cream of the crop when it comes to quarterbacks. And if they get hurt, they don't play. And then what happens? Ratings suffer a little bit. And I will tell you the real reason why ratings are down a little bit in the NFL. Now, before I get into, oh, the poor NFL, their ratings, let me tell you. Sunday Night Football has been the number one rated television show for the last decade. So all this, people aren't watching football stuff. They're not watching them maybe as much as they did 5-6 years ago. And there's a reason because of that, too. And I tell you, most news organizations, most sitcoms, most reality shows would absolutely kill to have football's ratings. So, and you got to remember now, people are live streaming events. You know, there's ways of watching games and not paying for it online. So that doesn't factor in. People DVR games and go back and watch it as well. So there's a lot of options. That's partly the reason why NFL ratings is down. Now, I'm not going to dive into politics here and the whole national anthem stuff. That's a small, very small part of it, because I know people who support Donald Trump and they still watch the NFL. And I know there's people out there who support the president and won't watch football. Fine. That's your prerogative. That's why we live in a free society. One of the reasons why football ratings is down a little bit is because Peyton Manning no longer plays in the National Football League. Peyton Manning has one of the highest Q ratings of any professional athlete. And here's another reason why people don't watch football. Tim Tebow is not in the league anymore, and he hasn't been in the league for quite some time. Those two guys, if you talk to people who are not fans of sports or football, when Peyton Manning and players like Tim Tebow played, the non-sports fan tuned in to watch them because they liked them. They're likable guys. They're clean cut. You know, they say and do all the right things. They're players that parents could have their children look up to. And that's one of the reasons why ratings down a tick or two in the NFL. And believe me, those NFL owners are not hurting at all. And that's not why I brought this up. But I wanted to point that out. That's one of the more real reasons why people don't watch football as much as they did 3, 4, 5, 6 years ago. So, in fantasy football, I think that's one of the reasons why people still do watch a Monday night game, a meaningless Monday night game. Although I will say the NFL has done a great job over the first couple of weeks of the season of scheduling. The Thursday night games have had good matchups. It's been quality football. The Monday night games have been really good. That Steelers-Buccaneers game on Monday night was very, very entertaining. And people tuned in because you had the Steelers, who are one of the more popular teams in the NFL. You got Ben Roethlisberger playing quarterback. And then you've got the whole Ryan Fitzmagic thing going on. So let's dive into this rule, this NFL rule about can't use all of your body. Now, when you're a man that weighs almost 300 pounds and you're running full speed, how on earth are you supposed to let up, so to speak? It defies the laws of gravity. So this week, I talked to Shelby Harris of the Broncos, who almost weighs three bills, about this subject and the roughing the passer penalty that's being called, it seems like, on every other play.
With the size of these quarterbacks, and they're not all just like little guys. You got Big Ben, you got Cam Newton and everybody. These are guys that are 260 pounds. I don't know how you're going to get these guys down without putting all your weight on them. Like, and that's when you're going to have quarterbacks missing, get, like, people missing sacks, and you just saw the guy from the Dolphins get hurt because he was trying not to lay all his weight. So it's more like you're worried about the quarterback's health, but what about ours, too? But, you know, that's nothing to do with me. They're going to figure it out eventually, but it's always happens when you bring up a new rule or something like that, you know? So you just got to deal with it and figure it out.
Being a defensive guy, though, do you feel for Clay Matthews at all a little bit?
Man, yeah, man, you see that stuff, man. Like, one, you don't get the stat. You did all that work, and you got the sack. You don't get the stat for it. But then, two, it's like, I know he's getting fined. Those are fines. All those roughing passer penalties, those are fines. Nobody wants to pay that, especially for what a lot of people think are good football players. So, you know, I feel for him.
Shelby Harris of the Denver Broncos talking about the roughing the passer penalty and talking a little bit about Clay Matthews and how he's kind of been targeted by the refs. The one against Alex Smith last Sunday could kind of see. The one against Kirk Cousins the week before, that was just a bad call. That was a good, pure textbook tackle by Clay Matthews. He dropped Cousins for a loss, would have won the Packers the game. Could be the difference in the Green Bay Packers season. All right, we're going to shift gears now, and we're going to bring in Paul Klee from the Colorado Springs Gazette, one of the finest writers in the country, does excellent work for the Colorado Springs Gazette, joining us from Broncos HQ at the moment. Paul, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, what's going on, Rob? Good to talk to you, man.
Good to talk to you. Let's talk, you know, you and I have talked a little bit about this. You were a golfer at Boise State, correct?
Gonzaga.
Gonzaga, yep. Pardon me.
Mm-hmm.
I could not remember.
We did have a tournament at Boise State. I think it was the Bengal Invitational. Or that was Idaho State, actually. But, yeah.
It was in Idaho, so I kind of got that right.
You're close.
So let's talk a little bit about Tiger Woods and his great comeback. Did you watch on Sunday, and were you surprised at all at the transformation he has made over 365 days when it comes to his game of golf?
It's pretty amazing. I was in the press box in Baltimore, actually, when that was going on. But Woody and I were keeping an eye on it. He's covered Tiger for so many years, and so I like to pick his brain on Tiger because he's, you know, he's on the short list. I mean, he's a guy, if he's on TV, I'm probably going to watch him. And it reminds me a lot of actually LeBron James. And I think one thing that always piques my interest is how these superstar athletes are viewed publicly. And, you know, we only have to go back a handful of years when LeBron was maybe the most, you know, despised athlete in the world when he went on TV and made the decision and turned his back on his hometown, and it seemed like everybody turned against him. Well, now he's the most popular athlete in the world again.
Right.
Tiger went through this, you know, roller coaster of public perception, a lot of it created by himself. And I think that was the case with LeBron James too. So if you had asked, you know, America however many years ago when the stories came out about his infidelities and that sort of thing, if they would imagine in 2018 that he would have thousands of people following him down a fairway, people would have said, you're nuts. I mean, it was a it was an avalanche of criticism of this guy, and it had very little to do with his golf game. And that was the same thing with LeBron James. So that's really what this thing reminds me of.
Yeah, we build people up and then we knock them down in our society, whether it's through social media, whether it's through whatever form of media. And I think one of the reasons why he got his game back is he found his putting stroke. And we saw that in the last couple of majors. And I think that was a real big reason why he was a winner on Sunday. Do you agree?
I think so. I also think it's where he is in his life. It looks to me like this is a guy that he's just so comfortable on camera that he seems to be, I don't know the guy. I mean, I'm not having beers with him.
Right.
I have no idea what he's doing with his personal life, but with golf, I think more than any other sport, and maybe it's because it's a game I know the best, you have to be so secluded and isolated from anything else going on in the world for those 5 hours, or these days, those 6 hours. And he just seems to be at a comfort level that if I miss, you know, it's kind of like Carlos Gonzalez said at Coors Field yesterday, if you don't play well, you're not going to get shot.
Right. You know, it's just a game.
It's not the end of the world. He's been through a personal hell. I mean, I don't think that's exaggerating it. And he brought it on himself. So I don't think golf necessarily is his end all at this point. And when there's a comfort level there that if I miss this 4-footer, the world isn't going to end, you probably have a better chance to make that 4-footer. At least that's what I found. You know, my college golf career was not as good as I wanted it to be. I played terribly most of the time. And it wasn't until 7 or 8 years after college that I started playing well again, because it just kind of didn't matter that much. It wasn't the most important thing in life. And that's what it looks like for Tiger Woods right now. And it is absolutely a thrill to watch a guy come back like this.
Yeah, he seems to be more at peace with himself. He has some humility in his life. And you mentioned the galleries and the thousands of people following him up 18. You know, when he was Tiger of his heyday, it was almost like he was claustrophobic, like, hey, do not get too close to me. And that was in a literal and a figural sense as well, figurative sense, I should say. So what about, I know we always like to look ahead and make predictions, and most people of my ilk, I guess. there are people out there now saying, lock it in. He's going to win at least 2 majors next year. Do you see it working out for him that way?
Oh boy, that's a really high bar that we're setting for him.
But that's what we do, right? In our business.
And then when he doesn't, we say how bad he played. But
right,
golf has never been better than it is right now. There has never been talent like we have right now. Every weekend, they are hitting the ball so far, and the equipment that they're using. If you had Jack playing with the kind of irons and wood that they're playing with right now, yeah, the technology. I mean, they're making golf courses obsolete, and we even saw that, Rob, when we were cruising around Broadmoor, you know, a few months back. These senior tour players, Champions Tour, they're so long off the tee that they're hitting wedges into par fours at the Broadmoor, which is my favorite golf course in the world. And it's probably the most difficult golf course that I've ever played. And they're hitting wedges into par fours.
And yeah.
These are the senior guys. So I can't really say he's going to do that, because everybody hits the ball as far as Tiger now. It's really the distance off the tee that's changed everything. Would I bet on him? If there's one guy to win a major next year, yeah, I'd put $10 of somebody else's money on it. Because it's Tiger Woods.
You right.
know, what he does, he makes the impossible possible. So I do think he will, but it's certainly no guarantee with these fields that we see every weekend.
Sure, and it depends on how the layout of the course is and where the event is. You mentioned how good golf is right now, and there's so many good young golfers, guys between the ages of, you know, 25 to 32. And I think that was one of the coolest moments on Sunday, was how a lot of the golfers came out of the clubhouse to congratulate Tiger as he walked off of 18, kind of to show an appreciation. And let's face it, they're not making the cash and the coin that they're making if it wasn't for Tiger Woods. And you don't see that in any other sport, right? You're not going to see when Von Miller comes off the field, Mean Joe Green isn't going to be there to congratulate him, or vice versa, I should say. You know what I mean? Like, there's a reason why these guys make the money they made, and it was because of their predecessors. That moment, I thought, was really cool on Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. And I think it says a lot about where golf is right now that a guy like Brooks Koepka can do what he did in really just smothering the field 2 years in a row, and he's still not the story. You know, that's how good golf is.
Or
right
Justin
now.
Rose winning the tour championship, and that wasn't even mentioned on Sunday.
That's exactly right.
And the guy won $10 million, I believe.
$10 million to play golf, man.
It's good work if you can find it, Paul.
I should have spent far more time on the practice green than I did.
That's funny. Hey, let's talk to let's talk about another subject that's near and dear to your heart. Your Denver Nuggets. They had their media day on Monday. What impressions did you take from that?
They're older. That was really the thing, Rob. There was an embracing of what they need to be, not what they can be anymore. I think that the best thing I've heard from a Denver Nugget in 5 years was Nikola Jokic, when he signed his big contract. He said, "We learned we can do the tough stuff." And it went from being, "This is going to be cool, guys, if we get in the playoffs," to, "We need to be in the postseason. People are going to lose their jobs if we don't." And so I think embracing that is a really big step for them, because they're not just the fun up-and-coming 22-year-old, you know, team that's, you know, top three scorers are 24 or younger. This is a franchise that just spent $200 million on Will Barton and Nikola Jokic. And my guess is Stan Kroenke didn't become a multi-billionaire by lowering expectations when he pays employees.
Sure.
So they know that this is the year, but that they have to make a move, but they're embracing that. They're not shying away from it. And there's a lot of things that have troubled me about the Nuggets organization, walking away from a winning program in George Karl, but how they've brought a group together so carefully is really admirable, because they've also brought guys in that you'd want to be representing your city and your state. So I really like the way they're going. I'm higher on the Nuggets than most. I think it can be as good as the third best team in the West.
Wow.
They're very, very talented. They have weapons everywhere. So, of course, health. I think Michael Malone's comfortable, because I think you're going to see a contract extension pretty soon for him.
Interesting.
So I like the way they're going, and it's not guaranteed by any means, but the one thing they have is the hardest piece to find, and that's a centerpiece in Jokic. He to me, Rob, is going to be the best Nugget that's ever played here.
Wow.
And he's only 23 years old. So I'm very much looking forward to seeing this Nuggets team, but they got to take this thing seriously, because these chances don't come along very often.
Sure, and things can change in the NBA real quickly. Last year, they were on the outside looking in. They weren't one of the eight teams out of the West to get into the playoffs. They were the ninth team. And one of the reasons why was Gary Harris was pretty banged up the last couple of weeks of the season. What role does he play in the Nuggets becoming a playoff team? And not just that, you know, trying to get in the eighth spot, but as you mentioned, maybe being one of the top three teams in the West.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He is, I believe, it's a weird thing to say, because he's not the highest paid player. He's not the best player. He's definitely not the best known player, but he's really the captain. He's kind of the captain. And I use that figuratively, because guys, if they have a question or an issue or whatever, it's goes to Gary Harris. It doesn't really go to Paul Millsap. There was actually a bit of a – he was kind of detached last season. And I remember it was in –
Harris was or Millsap?
Millsap, yeah. Mm-hmm. I asked him late in the year when he came back, what is the relationship like with the old heads here and the young guys? And he said it was difficult to communicate at times because there is such a gap there. And it doesn't seem like a lot of years, but if you're in your 30s and you're dealing with 21-year-olds, it's really different. But Gary has an ability to, I think, kind of bridge those two, because it very much was the young guys and the older guys. That's why Danilo Gallinari is not here anymore, because there was a rift there. He wanted to be the guy, but his time had passed, and now they had a new, you know, legion of guys came in. So I think Gary is critical for them. And it also helps that while he's not great at any one thing, he's good at everything. He guards, he shoots, he passes, he can handle the ball. And those guys are pretty hard to find.
Yeah, and we saw last year when he, you know, his leadership was sorely missed. And that was one of the mm-hmm. reasons why they missed out
for sure
on a playoff spot last year. So you say one of the top three teams in the West. So who would, mm-hmm. including the Nuggets, who do you see as the top? In that top three in the West, maybe even four if you'd like.
Yeah, I think they can be as high as three. I see them as a top five seed overall.
Mm-hmm.
But once you get past the Warriors, who are going to win it again, there's nobody that can beat those guys.
That's true.
You know, I think the Rockets take.
You could actually bet $10 on that, Paul, of your own money. I think you'd be okay.
Yeah, you wouldn't get very good odds, but you'd probably get your money back at least.
You'd win $2 probably.
Yeah, exactly. I like the Jazz. I like the way that they're going. They've got good young players. They've got good guys at every position. You know, the Timberwolves are imploding before our eyes.
Yeah.
They were really on a level playing field. They're kind of parallel to the Nuggets' ascension and where they stand, their status, and now they're a disaster. I mean, it's – they don't want to be there anymore. And that – the Nuggets could have gone that way.
Sure.
That could have happened here. But I think the important thing that they did was they got guys that wanted to live in Colorado. And in the NBA, as we've seen through the decades, that's not an easy thing to pitch.
Not at all.
That's not an easy sales pitch. So I think that the desire to want to be in Denver and Colorado, and that's part of the reason they scout Europe so hard, because these Europeans really like it here, that's a big deal.
And you know, I feel bad for Karl Anthony Towns. I think he's an exceptionally young, talented player, and he's going to end up being in what could be an abyss with the Timberwolves. All right, you're at Broncos headquarters today. The Broncos obviously getting ready for their big Monday night game against KC. They're off to a 2-1 start. There are a lot of people who are skeptical of this football team, and some are skeptical of Case Keenum. What's your assessment of Case Keenum through three games?
From a personality and leadership standpoint, it's an A+. He said all the right things. He's handled everything so well. His play, I've been disappointed. I've been actually really disappointed. Sunday in Baltimore, that looked like Trevor Siemian. And I was a Trevor guy. I thought he should have been the quarterback last year. He beat Paxton out twice. He was the right choice. Was he a guy for the long term? Of course not, but he was the best quarterback on the roster. It looked like Case was seeing ghosts back there. And that pick he threw down inside the red zone, it was a guy that was frustrated and looking behind him to see who was going to hit him next. And I did not foresee that coming, because in Minnesota, he was so steady. He didn't take a lot of sacks. His interception rate was, I think, fourth in the NFL.
Yeah. It was very low. It was less than 10.
Yeah. And it was, you know, he was above Handsome Tom in that regard. He didn't throw picks. He didn't make mistakes.
And he's done that. He did that in the second game of the season too. They were driving, throws a red zone pick, and that's been one of his Achilles heels.
Yeah. And it really kind of smothered what they were trying to do. So the nice thing is, Kansas City's defense is just wretched.
Yeah.
It is. Might be the worst in the NFL, and it was close to that last year. So this is a great, you know, I think people are looking at this game like, oh, boy, the Chiefs are going to blow the t- top office place, there's another side of the game that doesn't include Patrick Mahomes, and that defense is really, really bad. If you're going to pick a game to get right, this is a really good matchup.
That's why I think the Broncos are going to win on Monday night. I told some people that yesterday. They looked at me and told me I was crazy. I think this is going to be the game that they get their offense going, and they're just going to outscore the Chiefs. They're going to have to slow down Mahomes a little bit. They're not going to be able to stop him. But I think this is the game that they get it going offensively. I firmly believe that.
Yeah, I'm not ready to go there yet. I want to see specifically. I want to see what Vaughn has to say this week. I found it bizarre, and you know, Rob, we've known each other for a while now. I don't like to do hyperbole too
often. You don't.
It was totally bizarre that Von Miller played 68% of the defensive snaps the other day.
Yeah.
He played fewer snaps than Bradley Chubb.
Right.
And Chubb's going to be a hell of a player. He'll be an all-pro pass rusher someday. He gets the whole scene. He understands, and he gets to learn from, I think, the best defensive player in football, and Von. He should not be playing more snaps than Von Miller. And the press conference afterward, when Von said this was a weird Sunday, a very weird day, really struck me. It was very un-Vaughn-like. So I'm not exactly sure. Actually, I am very sure the message that Joe Woods and Vance Joseph are delivering to the defense is not getting through. And the defenders do not agree with the program that they put on the table.
Well, we heard what Chris Harris said after the game on Sunday as well, questioning Joe Woods.
I was standing right next to him, you know, when he was saying that. And only one other time has he said something like that in the last 6 years, and it was last year when he and Aqib Talib were saying there was miscommunication. Chris Harris and Aqib Talib never have miscommunication. They were tied at the hip. Mm-hmm. They played in college together. They won a Super Bowl together. So the miscommunication was obviously coming from somewhere else, and that must be the coaching staff.
Yeah, and we've seen Harris this year visibly frustrated on the field. You know, and he's usually a guy who kind of is composed and is relatively cool, but there's something not right there. And really, the play calling, if you listen to even fans from Bill Musgrave, fans aren't happy with his play calling. And obviously, there's been some stirring, so to speak, from the players about Joe Woods. And Vance Joseph was asked about that on Monday as well. And he kind of sidestepped it a little bit. So it's interesting. It'll be interesting to see maybe when this season is over and said if the defense is a middle-of-the-road defense in the NFL, what really is going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I do think, to me, the no-fly zone is dead and gone.
It's for sure. Finished. They have no depth. They had depth when they were the no-fly zone.
Yeah, the best thing that Super Bowl defense had was three really good corners, because nobody has three really good corners. But I'm not ready to count these guys out yet either. I think that there's too much high-end ability on both sides, too much high-end talent to just go in the tank again. And weird things happen at Mile High at night.
Yeah.
You know, this is – Patrick Mahomes has not seen – what he'll see on Monday night.
Right.
And I don't mean this is a playoff Broncos team. I think it could be, but it's obviously not a great Broncos team. It's really difficult to win night games at Mile High. There's a different feel there than other places. If Vaughn has a say in the matter, he'll be out there 100% of the time. And if we know anything, Vaughn loves the camera. And
he
really loves
the primetime spotlight. He absolutely loves.
And yeah,
I think that's one of the reasons why they'll win on Monday night. I think Mahomes will be a little amped up, his first time in prime time. He'll probably, you know, sail a few receivers, and there will be Darian Stewart or Justin Simmons playing center field, so to speak, and picking off passes. And that would be natural for the kid. You know, he hasn't been in that situation, and he wants to prove to the NFL world, hey, look at this rocket arm that I have, and he may... We even saw that in the Super Bowl with Cam Newton in that Panthers-Broncos Super Bowl. Some of his passes had a little bit too much mustard on it, and it led to deflections, and it led to balls hitting receivers' hands and being tipped away and falling incomplete. I think that's what will happen on Monday night. But I'll bet 10 of your dollars on that, Paul, not my own.
I'm not ready to get there yet, but I know one thing from being around these guys – that the Broncos go into every game with the best player on the field. And I feel comfortable saying that. I think Vaughn, unless it's an Aaron Rodgers, and even he had 77 passing yards total at Mile High in a night game, he is almost always, if not always, the best player on the field. And when that's the case, you always have a chance. I just think the Broncos are walking a thin line right now. And the Chiefs are hot. They look good. I still don't trust them because I have not trusted the Chiefs in 39 years of my life. So I'm going to wait to see it before it happens. But sure, the Chiefs right now are a much better team than the Broncos. So I'm not ready to pick the Broncos in this one.
All right. Well, hey, Paul, really appreciate you coming on, giving us some great insight on the Broncos. The Nugget stuff is gold, buddy. And, of course, your golf exploits at Gonzaga. We really appreciate that insight.
Exploits is being far too kind, but I love talking to you, Rob, so thanks for having me on.
Yeah, Paul Klee of the Colorado Springs Gazette joining us on the Nam and Aches podcast. Thanks a lot, Paul. Greatly appreciate it. All right, so I tell you, that guy is tuned in when it comes to professional sports in Denver. And read his stuff if you haven't read it. It is great. He's got a unique take. He's got a great writing style. And I'm glad he's able to. That's his first time we've had a guest on multiple times on this Nam and Ake podcast. And we've been doing it now since May. And really, really great stuff. That stuff on the Nuggets about Danilo Gallinari wanting to be the guy. Gary Harris being very captain-like. That's just great stuff. And I hope you guys are enjoying consuming this Nam and Aches podcast, because I it's a thrill and a joy for me to come in and record this and for you guys to consume it. All right. As I mentioned with Paul, I think the Broncos are going to win on Monday night against the Chiefs. If we've watched and learned anything about the NFL in the last week, is that things change from week to week. Who would have thought Josh Allen would go to Minnesota against that great Vikings defense and light them up? Okay, maybe it's his first start. They don't know a whole lot about him. They don't have a whole lot of game film. But that Vikings defense is one of the best in the NFL, if not the best in the NFL. We saw the Jaguars at home scoring 6 points the week before they lit up the Patriots, although the Patriots seem to be trying to figure things out. We saw the Patriots lose to the Lions on Sunday Night Football. So I'm going to say the Broncos are going to – I didn't think the Broncos would go to Baltimore and win anyways. I think the Ravens are going to be a team. Come December, we're going to be talking about the Baltimore Ravens and that. Watch out for these guys in the playoffs. And what we're going to see from the Ravens as the weeks go on is they're going to start incorporating Lamar Jackson into their offense a little bit more. They're doing the right thing. They're easing him into it. They get him on the field for a play or two. You're going to trust me, if the Ravens stay healthy and Joe Flacco can play what he's capable of playing, we're going to see the Ravens down the road. But I think the Broncos are going to beat the Chieftains on Monday night. All right, we're close here to wrapping up this installment of the Nam and Aches podcast. But before we go, you've been listening to the Nam and Aches podcast presented by Southern Colorado Napa and Auto and Truck Parts, 3 locations. Napa know how to make sure you leave their stores with the right auto part in your hand every time. Trust me, Napa, that's the place to go if you're having some issues with your automobile. Go to Napa. You can call them to find out where they're located, their hours, and parts information. They have very knowledgeable service people. Their number is 632-4616, 632-4616. I often go into the one on 8th Street near the Walmart there. And they've got some great guys working there. And trust me, they want you to walk out of their store with the right auto part in your hand. So I want to thank Paul Klee from the Colorado Springs Gazette for joining us on this edition of the Nam and Aches podcast. I want to thank my main man, TJ Gerza, the producer. Did I say that right? TJ, that works. I'm close enough. TJ, for running the 1 and 2 here on the Nam and Aches podcast here. And I want to thank you guys for listening and consuming this podcast and making it such a great success. The bosses here are happy. I'm happy doing it, and I hope you enjoy listening. So we'll do it again next week. I hope you guys enjoy your week, and thanks again for listening to this edition of the NAM and Eggs Podcast.
You've been listening to the weekly NAM and Eggs Podcast with Rob Nam Noom, sponsored by Southern Colorado, Napa Auto and Truck Parts, three locations, and Napa Know How to make sure you leave with the right part every time. Call 632-4616. That's 632-4616 for locations, hours, and parts information.